So tonight, I'm supposed to be starting a new series, and this is titled Conflict Resolution, and I had some family emergencies. I spent last night from about 8 p.m. until 1:30 this morning in the hospital, and I come to you tonight rather exhausted and not quite ready to start this series, because that was my final time dialing everything in. But I want to kind of give you a brief intro to why I think this is important to have as a subject matter, and it's going to take us through just the month of March. It's a short series, and I think it will be profitable and helpful to us. But as we begin tonight, just know this is going to be a little bit different, a little more just introductory, and then we'll jump into the meat of the series next Sunday night, God willing, and look at this for the next few weeks after that. First of all, let me ask you a question. Tonight's going to be a little bit of feedback, call and response here. How many of you ever have conflict? All right, conflict is something that we all face. It is something that no human being ever goes without experiencing. We face conflict, and in this next few weeks, I want to examine some different aspects about conflict from the scriptures, about, first of all, answering the question, where does conflict come from? What are the sources of conflict? Where does resolution come from, or at least attempt to come from? A verse that is important in this series is Romans chapter 12 and verse number 18 that says this: if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live what? Peaceably with all men. That is easy to quote. It is hard to live. It is hard to practice. All right, this is really important. We have this calling that God has given to us as believers to, as much as is possible, live peaceably with all men, to strive to not be those who create conflict. Conflict is, in a kind of a dictionary definition term, is a serious disagreement or argument, typically a protracted one, right? If you have a little, words going back and forth that's just immediately resolved, we don't usually think of that as a significant conflict. That's just, maybe just you're having a bad moment. But a conflict is oftentimes something that is there, and it's not going anywhere until it's brought to resolution, until there is some working through things, because it is a protracted kind of disagreement. This kind of conflict can come from many different facets and many different areas of our life. What are the areas, and I don't want specifics as far as details of kinds of conflicts, but what are the kinds of areas of life that we face conflict? Where? Everywhere. All right. We have everywhere. That's kind of omnibus. We just covered everything. All right. No need to ask any more. All right. What are some specific areas, Brandon? In the workplace, right? We have workplace conflict. What are the kinds of things in a workplace that can cause conflict? I think in the scriptures it talks about froward bosses. It uses the word master, but those that are, be obedient to those masters, not only the good, but also to the froward, also to those who are hard to deal with. But that conflict doesn't just come from bosses. Conflict can come from fellow employees. Sometimes it can come from people that you think, what have I ever done to them? I remember a man whose name shall remain nameless, though I thought of his name instantly the other day when asked about conflict resolution. And there was a man who worked at Pepsi, at Van Dusen Beverages, and he worked there for, let's just say, more years than I have still yet been alive. So it was a long time. And he was very, very grumpy. Like, you take grumpy, and then you go beyond what you can think of, and he just didn't like the world. He didn't like anyone. He literally worked in a confined space, probably a quarter the size of this sanctuary, with a man for 20 years, and because of a disagreement, hadn't spoken a word to each other for 20 years working in that confined space. And I think to myself, if I was that other guy, I would not have made it 20 years. But there's conflict. Sometimes conflict can take place with people that you feel like, I've never done anything to them. Why do they hate me like this? You ever had an experience like that? Maybe growing up in school, you know, people that are jealous or something over you, and so they just create misery. But it can happen in jobs because of one person getting a promotion, one person being passed over. They feel like that was wrong, and it can happen all different ways. What other besides workplace? Family, okay? Something we need to talk about. Yeah. Oh, okay, good. We would never have conflict. No, she's thinking more of extended family. All right, how many of you can relate to that? That maybe not even when you try. Like, I want to have good relations with family, love my family, and yet there's still things that can drive you bonkers, and it can create sometimes conflict that's there that causes a difficulty where it's like you want to try to. You know, when we have conflict with people over a long time, we can want to sometimes avoid them because it's misery to think about dealing with that conflict, and yet then you never have any potential for resolution, right? That's hard. Now, extended family. Any other areas that we can have conflict in? Yes, sir, Gavin. Okay. We can have conflict in our own souls because of sin and temptation and struggle that we face in our life. And that inward conflict and the lack of peace can then extend to relationships around us and affect those relationships as well. Very, very, very important aspect of conflict resolution. And if you, to kind of add on to that, if you aren't at peace with God yourself, how will you then be able to live peaceably with all men, even the difficult ones, right? It's very, very much important, right? But the bill, the government, that's a very real, very real thing. You can think, we could have issues or conflict with, as citizens. One that we can look and see, obviously there's conflict in our country verbal and philosophical, very varying disagreements, and everything is very, what's the word I'm thinking of? I'll think of the word. But very much pitted against each other. There's a kind of polarization, the word I'm looking for, within our government. But there can be in situations where people have disagreement or conflict with the governments are in, and sometimes it's not always that the government is right, shockingly, right? Over span of world history and present day around the world, you have times where you have wicked governments that are in, or where we cannot obey. We have conflict because of what they're demanding of us. Can you imagine what it would have been like under a regime like under Adolf Hitler, or even in Cambodia, where Dr. Tanaka just came from, very much more recently, and the time of what has been known as the killing fields, or being in a place like Rwanda and the genocide that happened just 22 years ago or so, 24 years ago, maybe now, and the things that happened, the atrocities that happened that people participated in because they were led to do that by their leaders. There's a lot of conflict that happens between people instigated potentially by governments. What other areas within? No. Nah. No, say it's not so. Within the body, there can be conflict. Conflict can arise because of sometimes of noble reasons. Okay? So sometimes in the church, there can be noble causes like standing up for sound doctrine. If you, this past week, the United Methodist Church had a victory in, if you have any desire to be biblical, they had, and this is not an encouragement, there's a whole lot of problems in that denomination, so just, this is not an endorsement, but to say it was like a narrow victory over whether or not they should ordain homosexuals and host homosexual weddings and things of that nature. And the Africans that were there and the Filipinos and couple other groups and some from America, you know, were the only reason why the whole denomination didn't just completely cave to that agenda. And they said, hey, for the Africans, there is no conflict here. We can either be faithful to the Bible or we can, you know, and to God, or we can compromise that, and we're unwilling to do that, like, just to be accepted. And so there can be conflict that happens for, I'll call it a noble conflict. But let's be honest, a lot of times conflict that happens in a church doesn't happen for the most noble causes, right? Oftentimes it can happen for the same reason it happens at a workplace, or it happens, you know, in relationships, because people have differing opinions or they get their feelings hurt, so then they kind of they want to one-up. There's a one-upmanship that takes place, and then there's a disturbance, and then that conflict causes people to get people on their sides, and then it goes from being kind of like a problem between a couple of people, or between a person and the pastor, or a person and the deacons, or whatever the case may be, and then they get sides, and then oftentimes it can cause greater schisms. We have experienced that in our history, and it is extraordinarily heartbreaking and painful, and oftentimes hard to bring about resolution, even if you desire it. And ultimately, what ends up hurting is everyone and the name of Christ. Conflicts come because of sinfulness, ultimately, with all kinds of conflict. All right, what other areas can we have conflict in? Marriage. Somebody finally being brave enough to state that. All right. we all know that, right? If you take two people raised in two different homes, one male, one female, coming together, even in Christ, you have differing ideas, different ways of thinking things should go, and you can have significant conflict even with somebody that you at some point in time loved them so much and were in love with them so much that you stood before a group of people, whether that was great or you know, big or a small group of people, and you covenanted together to love one another and cherish one another until death do you part. And then problems come along the way, and they oftentimes increase in their severity, and when they are not addressed, there's no resolution brought, and the divide oftentimes grows bigger. Now, here's a place where we have to understand all of us in marriage have conflict at some point or time, at some level, not necessarily severe. I'm not saying everybody has severe conflict, but you don't put two people who are sinners together without having some conflict. If you want to call it a rub, a disagreement, a difficulty, go ahead, but it could have some semblance to what we would call in this series conflict. So we're going to deal with that aspect for sure, because we all face it. We have to learn how to work with one another. We need to learn how to bring resolution. Because oftentimes when we have conflict, we don't have an initial response of, how can I bring resolution? Our initial response is, where's the gasoline? Right? And let me use a different word, a more modern word that would be used oftentimes in law enforcement scenarios. De-escalation. That's resolution. Okay? We're gonna at least it's a process, it's not resolution incomplete, but it's a process of working towards resolution. If everybody's screaming, you cannot resolve things. All right? Sherry, you had your hand up? Yeah, and you can't resolve something you don't know what you've done, and if you've been shut off, there can be that conflict, and that is very, very hard. Schools? At school with other students, you mean? Okay, who is you're having a problem with here? We are homeschoolers here, okay? So schools, you can have conflict for sure. Bullying and things like that oftentimes can happen, and there can be conflict that happens within that realm. And siblings can have conflict that needs to be resolved as well. How about, I think, something prevalent in our culture, nobody's mentioned yet, where conflict abounds, resolution is almost unseen. Social media. Okay? Do you think that it doesn't matter because it's on Facebook? Or let me put it a different way. Do you think that God doesn't care as much about your words and your conflict and you're just throwing it out there to say, basically something like, if you don't like this and this and this and this, well, then go pack sand because you're going to have to deal with it. If we can't get along, then fine. I'm being a little bit hyperbolic. Not really, but a little bit. It's like, how are you going to respond? There's conflict that happens there. And I want to encourage you that as Christians, how we behave and how we respond online should be with a heart to say, how can I bring resolution with my words in comment threads and in responses to things? Even if something starts out with a conflict, how can I say, where's the water? Let me throw some on it, on the fire. Not, where's the gasoline? I'm just going to send them a zinger. Now, believe me, in my life, and I have had many times being, you know, when you want to send zingers when you're hurt. And there have been times where I've had them, like, one-upmanship to the, like, 10th degree zingers. And I'm so thankful. I can't say, you know, that I've had plenty of conflict that I didn't handle things right. But online, trying to recognize that this is just not a way. You don't bring glory to God by just getting into it with everybody that wants to get into it with you in that kind of way with conflict. I'm not saying that truth should not ever be spoken that brings people's animosity or that they don't like it. I'm just saying that in how you respond to people, individuals, and what they say should be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So conflict happens a lot in the social media realm. And I know that for some people, it's like, I don't want to have social media. Some people have that that blessing, that privilege, and it sounds sometimes like a dream, and yet there's a reality that some people have to be engaged in that realm because that's where people are living their lives today a lot, and there has to be an ability to engage them in that realm. That's where I feel like that I'm at least to some degree. Tyler, did you have something? Okay. Any other aspect? Yes, sir, Nate. Okay, social, real socialization media. Is that what you mean? Yeah. That's important too. That how we engage the world with a heart of kindness and love and a desire to be peaceable. It's like I have strong convictions and strong beliefs, but here's one way to say this that might be somewhat agitating to some people, but we need to think more like Christians and less like Republicans or Democrats or people in an ideological position in the culture that we live in, because oftentimes we listen to messaging from different varying groups, and that's how we respond to everything. It's like, we're going to respond like Rush Limbaugh does. And we forget, no, Jesus has called me to love that neighbor. Well, you don't know what that neighbor's like. Well, what sins are involved in that? Yeah, they're probably like I was before I came to know the Lord. Like, and that you have to, Paul says, and such were some of you, right? We are called to be on mission in our community with real people and to be peacemakers as much as is possible. I don't want to be at war with my neighbors. They need Jesus, right? My fence line isn't that important. You know, if somebody offends by, we've had that happen before, by the way, encroachment of their fence. Like, wait a second, that's my property. Like, you have to choose wisely your battles, and understand. Do you realize that there's a lot of conflict in the culture we live in that has nothing to do with Jesus? Like cultural conflict. Cultural conflict politically, that was brought up earlier with the governments. I stand before you tonight and let you know everything the Republican Party or the Democratic Party does isn't godly and isn't a biblical response. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that because we think ideologically like our conservatism in one area is the same in the other. I'm not saying you can't have positions, but make sure that all of that, every position that we have, that we go to war with the culture in, like at work and at the lunchroom or whatever, make sure that all of that is servant, subservient to King Jesus and what he wants for us in our life. That will challenge the way we think. Right? Conflict. I might have just created some. Now we'll bring resolution. All right? Amen. So where does conflict come from? Well, you've helped out in the sermon series tonight. It comes from, first of all, from within. And so anywhere people are, there can come conflict. In any environment that people are, there will be conflicts. There will be wars. There will be disagreements. There will be clashes of ideologies. There will be tension between people. There will be struggles over various and sundry things. And this is, by the way, this is not a series that reveals that there is no reason to ever fight for truth or fight for what is right. That is a different aspect. But as much as is possible to live peaceably with all men. That you see the exception there? We can't live peaceably with all men if they want us to do something that God forbids us to. There is a time where we have to live with the conflict because we're unwilling to compromise what God calls us to. I said this morning that I would quote again this passage of Scripture. We just finished James as a sermon series, but this is an appropriate passage. It's James chapter 4, verse 1 says, "From whence or where come wars and fightings among you?" It's a question. Where do they come from? The answer's here with another question. Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members, in your own bodies, in your own life? Lust of the eyes, things that you want, so you'll do things to get them. The lust of your flesh, things that you desire to feel and experience, you will do oftentimes evil to get them. And the pride of life, the power you want to gain. This is all the kinds of things that you talk about, global domination and world powers. It all comes back to this simple somebody's desire. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's a powerful thing. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Now this is James bringing it around to a need spiritually to understand if there are things we have need of, we are called to ask of them. But we don't get them when we ask amiss or we ask for the wrong reason, to consume it upon our own lust. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? This passage is not speaking necessarily just about sexual sin between men and women, adulterers and adulteresses. It's talking about a kind of spiritual adultery against God, going after our own desires, going after what we want rather than what he wants. This is enmity with God. Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you not think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But here's the hopeful reality. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. I always have this picture in my mind of, you know, someone who's weaker being kept back just by the holding of the arm. You know, if you have a toddler and you can't control them, like you're a grown man, like all you have to do is that you can restrain them, you can resist them. And that's how I envision this, of God resisting the proud man or woman. It's like, it's nothing for him. He resisted the proud, but he gives grace. He gives grace. He gives more grace to the humble, but he giveth grace unto the humble. So recognizing, as we will see as we study through the next few weeks on how to have conflict resolution, that where conflict comes from needs to be recognized that it comes from within. Comes from within. Doesn't matter which area it is, whether it's a marriage or social media or extended family or at the workplace, you're going to face conflict. And the reason conflict is there is because sinners are there. And that includes redeemed sinners. You are not conflict free. But what you do with that, how you respond to that, is going to make all the difference. There's also particular weaponry. Most conflict starts with one thing. Anybody know what it is? What is that? Words. Doesn't matter what the area is, this tongue, James, is a small member, but it creates a great conflict. This small thing is where world powers go to war because of words. And so do sometimes husbands and wives or brothers and sisters in Christ or co-workers who once labored side by side happily together. Then we want to look at where resolution comes from. And I'll just give you the heads up hint. It comes from God's word being applied through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it takes effort seeking to live out our lives with the fruit of the Spirit, with abundance of love and joy and peace and humility, and with a desire for resolution, with a heart's desire. If you could just have one thing in your mind tonight, it's to say, in all of my relationships, I want to have the desire to, as much as is possible, go to the ends of the earth to do all that I can do to live peaceably with all men. That should be our heart's desire. I don't like having enemies. Just personally. Some people seem to like it just fine. I don't. I want, even if we can't be best friends, I don't want to be people's enemy. I want to do my best to not be at conflict with people. I'd rather, you know, people say, hey, we don't agree on something. That's okay. We can still be kind to each other. We can still love each other. We don't have to be besties, but, you know, we can still be gracious and kind. You're impressed with my word, bestie? Okay, good. but we can still seek to be peaceable with one another. And this is going to be one of the key things that I will encourage you to think about as you think about preparing in your mind for embracing the scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures with regards to conflict resolution. Now, if you go looking in your search column of your computer for conflict resolution, you're not going to find a lot of hits with that terminology, okay? But you're going to find conflict resolution and the ways and means of that all throughout the scripture, but it's not going to be under those terminologies. So that's one of the things that I'm wanting to bring to you. But I will leave you with this. In every conflict that you are in, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are one of his redeemed people, and you have the Holy Spirit within you, the conflict that starts from within by someone, could be you, could be somebody else, you also need to realize that the resolution needs to start with you. If someone doesn't themselves realize, I'll put it more pointedly, as believers, in whatever context you're in, even with you dealing with other believers, the mature believer needs to say, I, and not say it like this, since I'm the mature believer, I'll start the conflict resolution. Okay? That just is creating more conflict. You see how little words change there? But if you have this desire, you have a marital spat, be the one to say, let's resolve this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things that I said. I'm sorry for my response. How can we make this right? Be the initiator in bringing resolution. Because if you don't, it just continues to grow and fester, and the flames of conflict get bigger and bigger and bigger. Be the one that goes in and with your coworker says, hey, I'm sorry if I offended you. I want to, you know, we work in side by side. I appreciate you. I appreciate your work. Like, find something positive to say about them and say, can we make this right? Whatever's gone wrong, be the initiator in this. This is you living out as much as is possible, living peaceably with all men. Right? You may have some area of conflict right now that you have in your mind. And if it's with me, I want you to come and initiate. Whether that's in your home or in your work or in your church with a brother or sister, the resolution needs to begin with you. Say, well, what if two people in this room are at conflict with one another? Who's supposed to be the first one? If both of you take the counsel, if both of you take the admonition, you'll just resolve things all the more quickly. Right? Excel in seeking to live peaceably with one another. Determine to seek to do all that's in your power to surrender to the Holy Spirit and to say, I want to follow God's word. I want to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I want to go to the one I'm in conflict with, and I want to make peace. And I would say that's very important with fellow believers, be they in our home, be they our spouse, be they in the church. But how much do you think your testimony matters as a peacemaker in a work environment with a bunch of people who don't know Jesus? If you continue a conflict that is not as important as someone else's soul, right? Just an issue, a relationship issue, you need to be the one that seeks to go and resolve it. Now, this is just a little snippet of where we're headed, and I pray that you would pray that God would work in your heart through this as we look at how we can work on ourselves, how we can take the first steps in bringing resolution to different conflicts that we might face, and then how we can apply the scriptures to start with ourselves, how we can apply the scripture in de-escalating conflict, and how we can seek to really be at peace with others. And even in that, to be at peace with those that we've done our best to make peace with and still don't have the resolution we want, we can still pray for them, and we can go on living knowing I've done what I could, and I am seeking to live peaceably with all men. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for just the few minutes together tonight. Thank you for the participation and response in this evening equipping time. I pray that you would help us to be a people who seek to do our best to resolve conflict that we know is present. And Lord, sometimes we have conflict with people that we don't even know we have conflict with. And it makes it impossible to resolve that type of conflict. But I pray for that which we know, we could be peacemakers. I pray even in our places of work that we could desire to be peacemakers amongst others that maybe are at odds with one another, that there could be a real desire to work through and help to help others rebuild relationships so that there could be a resolution to the conflict that abounds. We pray, Father, ultimately for the power of the gospel of your grace to abound in our lives and to abound coming from our lips as we seek to spread the message of the Prince of Peace, a message that is the only message that ultimately and finally brings peace to a broken, conflict-filled world ever since the fall. And I pray that we would recognize that in the end, we can have this confidence that for what you have already accomplished on the cross, we are in this business of conflict resolution, knowing that we are on the winning team, knowing that you will ultimately bring peace to a fallen world, and you will restore everything that is broken. Pray you would help us to be a part of bringing resolution by spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by practicing seeking to live peaceably with all men in our day-to-day life. And I pray that you'd help us this week to seek to pacify strife that might come in our life, to seek to de-escalate conflict that might take place in our marriages or with our children or amongst coworkers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.